I love this song. It's an Alison Krauss song. If I could have the world and all it owns, 1,000 kingdoms, 1,000 thrones, if all the earth were mine to hold, with wealth my only goal, I'd spend my gold on selfish things without the love that your life brings. Just a little bit more is all I'd need till life was torn from me. I'd rather be in the palm of your hand, though rich or poor I may be. Faith can see right through the circumstance, sees the forest in spite of the trees. Your grace provides for me. If I should walk the streets, no place to sleep, no faith in promises you keep, I'd have no way to buy my bread with no bottle for my babe. But if I trust the one who died for me, who shed his blood to set me free, if I live my life to trust in you, your grace will see me through. I'd rather be in the palm of your hand, though rich or poor I may be. Faith can see right through the circumstance, sees the forest in spite of the trees. Your grace provides for me.
If you got your Bible tonight, I want to start reading in Job chapter number 8. I started a week ago on a Sunday night with this thought, what life is like. And we talked about that life is like a test. And then the second lesson is life is like a trust. And tonight, we want to talk about life is like a temporary assignment. And I can give you, we got a lot of scripture, but you know, a lot of people, they have their metaphors about what life is like, and we talked about how that the metaphor you have of life is going to influence your life more than you possibly realize, how it influences and determines your expectations, your values, your relationships, your goals, your priorities, the things in life that are important to you. And when we look at life as a test, then we realize that we're growing every day in our relationship with God. We look at life as a trust, and we realize that everything we have here is just ours for a little while, and God's entrusted us to it, but really and truly, everything belongs to God. Well, when you look at life as a temporary assignment, I believe that it'll give you some perspective. It'll give you some perspective on what life is and, you know, how long we're here. One thing's for sure, certain, is we're not going to be here forever. We're just here for a short period of time. And the Bible is full of metaphors that teach us about the brief, the temporary, or the transient nature of life on earth. We're just here for a short time. And truly, we understand this and we see this as true. And we mentioned this morning, and we asked, you know, if you'd raise your hand if you had somebody that had already gone to heaven, already gone to be with the Lord. And all of us do. And I heard a preacher preaching one time, and he said, the older I get and the more I study God's word, the more I realize I have more on the other side than I do on this side. And when you read the writing of Paul, especially after what God had shown him, after what he had seen, the wisdom that he had, you see that Paul had a desire, a great desire, to go and be with the Lord, but it was more expedient at the time for him to stay here and fulfill the work of God. But truly, life is like a temporary assignment. In Job chapter 8 and verse 9, the scripture says, "For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow." It's just a short passing of time. Not to last that long, not to exist that long. Now, I've got a note here: to make the best use of your life, you must never forget two truths. And I'm going to give you those truths first, and this is something to understand, that compared with eternity, life is extremely brief. There's a verse in Psalms, and I use it quite often. It's chapter 90 and verse number 12. It says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." You know, any person in here that has watched children grow up, you understand how temporary and how quick life passes. I look at it now, and it even seems like as the older I get, the more life is accelerated. But not only am I looking at seeing children grow up, but now grandchildren. You know, I have a grandson that just turned 6 years old, and I can remember so vividly in my mind when he was brought home from the hospital, and my daughter was living in that little basement apartment up in Dallas, and she called us, and she was frantic, and she was a new mother, and she didn't really know what to do with him. And we went up there, and of course we began to try to help her, and it just seems like that life just accelerated, and it goes by, and it's brief. And if you live to be, you know, as the scripture says there in Psalms, that a man's days are 70 years. That's not that long. And it seems like the problem with it is it takes us so many years sometimes to learn how to live. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought this way, but sometimes I think this way. I thought this way when I was 40. I thought, Lord, if I just knew at 20 what I know now at 40, how much better my life would be. But you know, now I say, if I just knew at 40 what I know now at 50. And I'm sure when I get to be 60, I'll look back and say the same thing. You know, and when we look at our life, if we look at it based on what we know we're going to have to do tomorrow, look at it about the work and the responsibilities that we have, the tests, the things that we have to do, the school, then it seems like the days are very, very long. But truly, the years go by very quickly. Now, here's something to understand about eternity. It's hard for us to fathom. It's hard for us to imagine, and we mentioned it this morning. There's going to come a time in eternity that what we understand as time is going to be no more. So when we sit down and we talk about being able to, you know, when we get to heaven, I want to see Jesus. You know, when I get to heaven, I want to see my dad. I miss my dad. When I get to heaven, I want to see some dear saints of God that I've known that have gone on, and loved ones. And, you know, you ever said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to spend time with them. That's all we understand. But truly for us, very important, time is fleeting. And compared to eternity, life is extremely brief. Number two, earth is only a temporary residence. Now, we look around, all of us that are here, and we say, well, this is my home. I built that house. I like that furniture. I bought that truck. I like this activity that I do. But what about all those that have come before us that are already gone on? You know, if I hold up this book, there's 66 books in it, written in three different languages by numerous men of God. The scripture says were moved on by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit of God moved on them. And they traveled from this life to the next life by faith, because this earth is a temporary residence for us. We're just here for a short time. You're not going to be here long. So here's something to understand. Don't get too attached. Now, folks, I've learned some things over the years, and I'll give you just a quick example. We have a car out here in the parking lot that I have given to my son. He's now driving. I can remember when I bought that thing and I brought it home, they convinced me that I needed this plan to where it would cover if I ever got anything on the seat or the carpet or whatever. And I thought, okay, they just kept on and kept on. No, they snuck it in there. I don't know, some commission thing. I don't know. Well, I got home with it, and you know what I told my teenage daughter? I said, don't put makeup on in the car. She's on her way to school, and she's putting makeup on, and she drops a drop of lotion on the seat. This car is brand new. Of course, what did I say as a dad? I told you not to put makeup on in the car. Lotion is oil. It stained the seat. I called them. We got a warranty. Well, you know how it went. They came out. They cleaned the seat. They couldn't get it out. They wouldn't put a seat in it. And I was so frustrated, and I was so aggravated. And finally, I just put a seat cover on it because I couldn't look at it. Now, as time's gone by, my daughter, who was just a little teenage girl then, is 25 years old. And every now and then, I go flip that seat cover back just to look at that stain. You know why? To understand how insignificant that stain is. And sometimes in our life, we're looking at things and we're attached to the wrong things. That's why people go through this life, they can't give God the proper place because they really think, I don't know what they think, you're not going to be here forever. So if I'm going to understand life as a temporary assignment, I've got to begin to see my life and ask God to help me see my life on earth as God sees it. Over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 39, and in verse number 4, I want to read a verse of scripture. It says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. You know, I mentioned this morning about doing a little work yesterday, and I put in a dishwasher. I got down on the floor, and I'm laying on the side of my side, and I'm reaching under there, and I'm trying to get this pipe to thread with dope on it. And I already, pipe dope. And I've already checked it to make sure it's the right thread, and it is, and I can't get it to go on. And I got these four electrical wires I got to run into this little place, and I got this drain tube that I've got to hook up, and I've got to level this thing. And I'll be honest with you, I could only lay there so long. Because my back would get to hurting or my hip would get to hurting. And I told my wife, I said, I am older than I was the last time I put a dishwasher in here. I said, I'm probably, she said, well, next, this is what she said for me. She said, well, next time something breaks, we're getting somebody else to fix it. Because she heard me moan and she heard me groan. And our folks, he said, help me understand how frail I am. Some of you already are figuring that out. At 15, I didn't know that. At 50, I understand that. You know, we need to understand what our limitations are, but we also need to understand this world is really not our home. You know, we go looking at houses, and sometimes, I don't know if you've ever done this, but you go in one and, oh, I just love it. I remember when my wife and I were, you know, we were about to get married, and we went looking at places, and we went in some places, and she just loved it. And then we went to some, and I said, don't see it as it is. See it for what it could be. But how much do we look at this world, and we have desire for it? And we want it, and we pull it to ourselves. But this world truly is not our home. You know, repeatedly the Bible compares life on earth basically to temporarily living in a foreign country. It's not our permanent home. It's not our permanent destination. And we are just passing through. In Psalms 119 and verse number 19, the scripture says, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1 and verse number 17, Peter also give us an understanding. It says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In other words, he says it's just a brief period of time that you're allowed to be here. In Philippians chapter number 3, in verse number 19 and verse number 20, God says his children are to think differently about life than unbelievers do. Here's what the scripture says. It says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing's for certain, every person is going to leave this world. And the question And I think this is very important for us to understand. When we leave, where do we think we're going? It's just temporary. And real believers understand that there's far more to life than just the few years that we live on this planet. Now, if not, now here's the thing about being a preacher. There are people who, honestly, just being truthful, they won't call me till they need me. But I'll guarantee you, I've got a lot of people in my family, people that I love, people that I care about, that are going to call me when they really need a preacher. And I'll tell you the two times that most people call a preacher, one is a wedding and the other is a funeral. Because it doesn't matter whether they come to church or not, it doesn't matter whether they live for God or not, what they want the preacher to do is come and give them some assurance that they're going to see them again. But folks, what we ought to do is live our lives in such a way that nobody has to question whether or not we're ready to meet God. And we ought to understand, as we look at our life, and this is the hope that every mother, that every brother, that every father, that every son wants, is that there's got to be more. There's got to be more than us going through our life knowing that tragedy could be out there in front of us and we have no ability even to avoid it if it comes. And then we're looking for hope for the future. See, our real identity is in eternity and our homeland is in heaven. And grasping the truth of eternity will keep us from thinking that you should have it all here. Now, how many people are like that? They got to have it all. You know, people get addicted to gambling because if I could just hit the numbers, if I could just get that, if I could just get this, if I could just have that. When in reality, the Bible teaches us that godliness with contentment is great gain. And Paul, who at one time was lifted up, okay, he was very educated, he had a great position, but he said, I count it all as lost, but for Christ. And he said, I've learned both how to abound and how to be abased. In other words, in whatsoever estate I am therewith, to be content. And here's a problem that you see in America today, and this is just the way that it is. We look at life and we wonder why it's not simple as it used to be. But the simplicity that I can remember as a child growing up, the truth is most people are simply not willing to live that way. They're not willing to live to where they work and they make an honest living and they come home and they sit down and they eat what's on the table and they thank God for it. And give him the glory and not look down the street and think, well, if I don't have what they have, life is not fair. And they go out and they take it. That's where we're at. That's why we got, and I heard it just a little bit ago, a church right over from us on Ridge Road. Somebody broke in, stole every bit of the sound equipment, even stole their cameras that they would use for security, stole the fund that they had in there, some money for their youth group, and took it out. You know, there was a time when people, if they didn't come to the house of God, had more respect for the house of God than that. But what about us? I used to sometimes look at Scripture and I'd think, I always admired Joseph in the Old Testament. And I can remember having a conversation with the Lord about how I wanted to be like Joseph. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, well, if you really want to be like Joseph, why are you spending so much time trying to be like Potiphar? And I think for a lot of Christians, that's something maybe we can ask ourselves. Instead of trying to have it all, understanding God's will and God's place for us, our real identity is in eternity and our homeland is heaven. See, the Scripture in God is blunt about the temptation of living for the here and now and adopting the values, the priorities, and the lifestyles of the world around us. But that's what's happened. Okay? You hear terms like this, and this is unpopular, but I've heard preachers say, you don't hear it much anymore because people don't want to hear it, but they say the world is becoming so churchy and the church is becoming so worldly that you cannot see a difference. That's why it's very important as Christians, you understand in the Old Testament, they were called peculiar people. In the New Testament, they're called peculiar people. In other words, when the world looks at you and they see how you live and your relationship with God, it's going to seem odd to them. But what they don't understand is what you are, your hope, your joy, the smile that's on your face comes from peace and living in a relationship with God. It's not from the things in this world. You know, the truth is, when we flirt with the temptations of the world, the Bible calls it spiritual adultery. It's when we've turned our hearts and our minds against God. Now, number three, we as Christians. I heard a preacher preaching on this several years ago, and the title of his text was "When the Ambassadors Are Called Home." Now, I don't know if you've ever given much thought to this, but when the Lord comes back to get his church, and what we believe and what we call the rapture, what's going to happen to the rest of the world? We are the ambassadors from another country. You read through the book of Revelation and it talks about a tribulation period. It talks about a time of Jacob's trouble. It talks about a time when there'd be wrath and the vials would be poured out. You know, today we're living in times where people have an opportunity to come. They have an opportunity to worship. They have an opportunity to get their hearts and their minds where God wants them to serve. They have an opportunity to be helpful to others. But what's going to happen? You see, if we're ambassadors from another country or from another place, number one, we're here for a short time. Number two, we're here on a mission from God. And number three, we should be careful not to adapt to the culture of a foreign land. Number four, if we did, what would it do? For us as Christians, it would lead to a loss of our identity, how we identify with Christ. And then if you did, you would begin to act like the enemy, and then you become a traitor. It's like a person who goes to a foreign country, and they're there really just to be an ambassador, but after a period of time, they become so engulfed in that culture that they cannot tell where they came from. And that's what we have to be careful of as Christians, so that we don't become so much like this world that when the Lord comes, he doesn't recognize us. You see, there is a verse in the New Testament where Jesus himself spoke and he said, "When he comes, shall he, find faith on the earth?" In other words, when the Lord comes, what's he going to find? What are we going to look like if we don't realize what our place is? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, says, "Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled for God." We are ambassadors for Christ. Now, next things, this world is temporary. Don't get too comfortable in it. And I've heard it preached this way. Don't hold on too tightly to the things that are in this world, lest it would hurt too much when God has to pry them out of your hand. Now here's something that goes along with what we said life is like, as far as life is like a test. For the Christian, the person that walks with the Lord, if you're saved by the grace of God and you know him, and you're holding on too tightly to the things of the world, sometimes God, who is infinite in wisdom and in power, has the ability to come and to cause events and things in our life that would test us, to prove us, to pry those things that we're holding on to out of our hands. You know, that could be any number of things. It could be material things. It could be natural things. It could be something, anything that you put in the place of your relationship with God. Anything between you and him. You see, because, you know, as we mentioned before, we are on a mission from God. I heard a preacher recently talking about a man who used to preach with great power, and I could give you his name, but I won't. But he had such power with God, and he preached in such a powerful way, and just like you and me, he failed. He made some mistakes. And when he had made mistakes because of the way people are, he said, "Well, I don't think I'll ever be able to preach again because people won't have confidence in me." So rather than turning back to God, he just went deeper and deeper and farther away from God. Now, folks, if we're saved, God's not going to allow that. I'm just a little old-fashioned in that I believe that the Lord has the ability to come and put his hands on us, and he will if we're saved. I believe that. And someone was witnessing to him, and they reminded him that ministry that he had, that ability to preach, that power, it did not belong to him. And I hope you can understand what I'm saying. There's not a time that I get up here and I stand that I think that at all that ministry is mine, that preaching is mine. The Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. But I want to tell you, if you're here on this earth and you're saved and you belong to God, you're on a mission from God. And when you don't fulfill that mission and you don't walk in the paths that God has for you to walk in, sometimes God in his wisdom and his ability, he comes and he has the ability to pry those things out of our hands that we're holding on to. That's why we should not get too comfortable in this world. And I know all of us like approval and we want to be liked. But I want to tell you something. Don't ever compromise your walk with God to seek the approval of the world. There's a verse, I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah, it says, "Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love?" You could preach on that, and I really think it's a good verse, and I heard a man speaking on it, speaking really to a youth group. And in other words, why do you change who you are to seek the approval of the world? Okay? Peer pressure. I heard a young lady one time, this is a perfect way of looking at it, and she was talking about being a Christian and being a Christian in this world that we're living in, and this is not that long ago, and she said, "This is what I told the people around me who were really giving me a hard time for being a Christian and where I stood for God." She said this, she said, "It would be easy for me to be like you, but it would be harder for you to be like me." You think about that. See, everybody out there finds it easy to go the way of Balaam. But how many people are finding it that they want to walk in the paths of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 31 says, "And they that use this world is not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." You see, this world has much to offer. And there's truly never been a time when there was so much to fill your lives with pleasure. But we were made for something better and for something more. And I've made this statement, and I believe this is true, that everything that the devil has that he has to offer, everything that you can find in this world, and the Bible truly teaches that there is pleasure in sin for a season, everything that Satan has to offer you is a counterfeit for what God wants you to have. And what Satan wants to do is get you so distracted and so believing you need the things of this world that you will not realize and understand that you can live your life truly with godliness and with contentment and with peace. He wants you to think you've got to have this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, the second half of the verse, it says, "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now that's hard for us, because we want what we can tangibly hold in our hand. But let's remember, what about all those that have gone on before us? What about our loved ones? What about that mom, that dad? What about in some instances, and I know this is not the way that anybody's life would want to go, but what about a person who has lost a child? I've heard mothers say, "A child is never supposed to go before its mother." But we hold comfort in believing that they are with God. Now, what did Paul say? And he said it, and I love the scripture. He said, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." Remember Jesus when he was on the cross and the thief was there beside him? And he said, "Lord, remember me when you enter into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Okay? If we realize and remember that life on earth is a temporary assignment, then the truth is it should alter our values. It should change the way that we look at life. Now, eternal values, not temporary values, should become the deciding factor of your decisions. I've got a quote here from C.S. Lewis that says, "All that is not eternal is eternally useless." The truth is, and if you think about it this way, how many things do we place so much great value on in life that at the end really aren't going to matter? My little sticker that I have on my wall says, when I take inventory of the things that matter most, I find that none will have been purchased with money. Well, we know that. Heard a story this week of a family. It was like three or four brothers and sisters. And one of them, for some reason, when she passed away, she was very, very wealthy. I don't know what people think, but she was way up in her years, and she would not give anything that she had to any members of her family. She was lived up in Georgia, but she put all of her money up at a bank in Tennessee. When she passed away, because there was no will and she was not willing to give anything to her family, of course, here's what happened, is all the three brothers and sisters that were left got together. They got them an attorney. They're going up to get what their sister had. But because it was in another state, the state of Tennessee got 66 2/3%. The lawyer's fees and the attorney's fees took the most of what's left, and when the family got the little bit that was left, it was almost nothing there. How many people hold on so tight to the things of this world? Here's what I think we ought to do. Folks, if you ain't got nobody to give it to, make a will and give it to the church. We'll use it for the honor and glory of God, but don't let the state have it. And, you know, I know people have oughts with their family, but one day you're going to stand before God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I have. This is just something that the Holy Spirit does to me all the time. Y'all ever run into people you don't like? I do. I know people that claim to be Christians. I just don't like them. You know what the Holy Spirit says? He says, you're going to have to deal with them in heaven. I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I'm serious. You see, it's not just here. Life is like a temporary assignment. Now, next thing, and I'm going to be done early here, but understand God's goal for your life. Very important. Understand God's goal for your life. It is a mistake, and young people, please listen to me here. It is a mistake to believe that God's goal for your life is material prosperity or popular success, as the world defines it. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with that if that's what God wants for you, okay? But the abundant life is not based on material abundance. The abundant life is based on a life that is filled with God's will and purpose being fulfilled in your life. And here's some examples that I can give you. The Apostle Paul, and if you study his life, you find out how educated he was. You find out how he was advancing there in the military standards. And, you know, as a Roman citizen, I mean, the things that happened in Paul's life could have advanced him, but he ended up in prison. John the Baptist was faithful, but he was beheaded. Stephen was faithful, but he was stoned to death. And how many have been faithful and come to the end of life with nothing material to show for it? But we misunderstand if we stop there. Because I've known in my lifetime, and I ran into a preacher just a couple of weeks ago. I was up at the hospital seeing someone, and I ran into him in the lobby, and we started talking about the things of God and what it was to serve God and how things have changed in our lifetime. How many people that he and I have seen leave this walks of life and go and be with the Lord? And over near the reservoir in Lithia Springs, right in the curve right past there, is where a dear preacher friend that I have used to live. His name was Gordon Kimmons. And I ride by his house sometimes when I'm coming this way or depending on which way I go. And, you know, where he used to live, we used to go over there and we'd have cottage prayer meetings. We'd go into his house and, you know, he was really shut in. They weren't able to come to church. He couldn't hardly get up and walk to a car. But we'd get to talking to him about the Lord, and he would get so happy and so excited talking about the things of God that he would stand up and start preaching, and he would walk across the room and sit down in another chair. Now, I was just a boy. I mean, I was just little, but I can remember sitting there with my daddy, and you know how it is when you go in those houses, and it's 95 degrees. And I was sitting there and I was listening, and he'd sit down and he couldn't get his breath, and his wife would come in and put her hand on his shoulder just to make sure he's all right. And just as soon as he got his breath, he'd start preaching again and he'd go back across the room and sit down over here. Now, when those people passed away materially, that didn't seem like they had anything. And I ride by that house today and they're hedge bushes grown up and the house has already fallen in and there's nothing left, and even his children, some of them that live beside him, same thing. They've already left this walks of life and they've already gone into eternity. But when I ride past there, I don't look at the material things. I don't wonder what did he leave his children, what did he have in the bank, but I think about the heritage that he had in the Lord. And I'll tell you, it's far more important that you have a heritage that your life pleased God than to leave behind money in the bank. Because most people who have money, most of it's going to be left in the bank. Because if they got it, they're not going to spend it. And somebody else is going to have it. Because everything that you have, the truth is, it belongs to God. And when you're gone, he's going to give it to somebody else. See, how many have been faithful and come to the end of life with nothing to show for it? But truth is, here's what we need to understand. The end of life is not the end. The end of life is not the end. In the eyes of God, the greatest heroes of faith are those who treat life as a temporary assignment. I want to read some scripture in Hebrews, it's chapter number 11. Verse number 13. And it talks about, this is what the scripture calls the hall of faith. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of men and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." A temporary assignment. "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Now, what did Jesus say? He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You see, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I can remember, and my dad's been gone for a little over 10 years now, but I can remember when I walked in to the room that they had him in to see him for the first time after he passed away. And I walked over to him, and they had cut his hair, and they had tried to put a little dye in it because he's like me, premature gray. And I looked at him, and I thought, well, he looks as young as I've seen him in a long, long time. But I knew that that was just a shell. That's just the body that will return to the dust. And it's almost spiritually got like God spoke to me, and my dad reached up like this, and he had a baton in his hand. And he handed it to me. Now, I know that was just something in my heart as I stood there, but that's the way I felt. I thought, you ever heard that song, "Who's Going to Fill Their Shoes?" See, he is right now in the presence of the Lord. And many of you have loved ones that are there as well. But folks, according to what the Word of God teaches us, according to time, and according to every other one that have come before us, 10 out of 10, they've died and went out into eternity. Our opportunity here is to run the race, to carry the baton, and to fulfill what God has for us as individuals. Now, folks, that don't mean every one of you is going to be a preacher. But it does. God has a mission for you. And it could just be tomorrow. Now, here's something you can do. I had a man share with me this week just something that God showed him, and I'm about done. But he said, how do we know when we're really thankful? How do we know? And he said, I was sitting there, and I just began to think about it, and I was talking to the Lord. And he said, all of a sudden, the Lord showed me something. He said, we're thankful when we take what God has given us and we give it to others. And he began to take and to share with me, and I heard this here just in the church service, in the past few services, someone shared this, that every one of us tomorrow, today, if we would seek the will of God and be willing to be used by God, somebody will be put in your life that you will have an opportunity to witness to minister to. And you say, well, it's not what you think. It could be a child. It could be a kid at school. It could be a friend. It could be somebody you run into at a restaurant. You know, so many times we look at people and we wonder, what's wrong with them? That's right. What's wrong with them? And then ask God to help us help them. I can tell you, there's been times I'm sure people looked at me. My wife said it. What's wrong with you? There's times we all need help. Amen. See, very important to understand. Your time on earth is not the complete story of your life. You must wait until heaven, until you get there, for the rest to be revealed. And in closing, I want to give you this story that I read of a missionary. And this is really a story that's in the book that I've been reading, The Purpose-Filled Life. But it's the story of a missionary that had been away. And unfortunately, folks, this is often what happens with missionaries. They go away and they live their life, most of them in meager fashion. They live in the lifestyle of the people that are there, maybe just a little better than the people they're ministering to, but not like you and I live here. And they dedicate 20, 25, 30 years to service, and there comes a time when sometimes they have to come home. And I heard a story of a missionary who was on the same boat as the president of the United States. Now here comes the president. Now most of them, you know, one term, two terms. Hopefully they don't do more damage than they do good. And when the boat pulled up, there was a great procession, and there was a band, and there was a horn, and there were flags that were waving, and there was a carpet that was rolled out, and people escorted the president off the boat. But the missionary that had been serving for 30 years, he gets his stuff and he waits for everything to clear. And he comes off the boat. And of course, as he's walking down the street, you know what a lot of them have? A lot of them, no retirement. They have nothing that they can build up because they're not making enough money. You've heard people say, well, put up for retirement. Let me tell you something. People living paycheck to paycheck have a hard time putting up for retirement. And he didn't have anything, and he's getting off the boat, and he's beginning. You know what we go through? We question, is it worth it? Did I do the right thing? Look at all those years. Where has it got me? Look at this celebration for the president. And all that I've done, nobody was here to welcome me. And he said, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to him and gently reminded him. He said, but child, you're not home yet. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but I believe that there's a lot of saints of God that have seen a great reception in heaven. They were faithful here. Didn't he say, faithful over a few things, and I'll make you rulers over many? Very important for us to understand that life is like a temporary assignment. Now, folks, I enjoyed studying this. I mean, this lesson, these three actually came out of the book, A Purpose-Driven Life. And it's supposed to be you read one page a day. I'm sorry, it took me a couple of weeks to get to that one page. But I hope something I said tonight was a help to you. Has anybody got a word or a testimony, anything you'd like to say for God, anything you'd like to share with the church tonight? Let's remember Wednesday night is youth, but y'all going to be practicing. So Miss Sandy will be here, and we want to make sure all the youth are here for that. So y'all invite y'all's friends. And we'll probably be having Wednesday night service out in the trailer and let y'all have in here so y'all practice better. Let's remember next Sunday we are going to have some missionaries here. Brother Justice Banwell is going to be here. And I know that a lot of folks in the church have been involved with Brother Justice for years. But it's a little different this time. Brother Justice lost his wife. And, you know, I'm sure that he's missing her. But let's pray for him as he comes Sunday morning. And I'm really excited about Stephen Curry coming Sunday night. Want to encourage everybody to come. Let's invite people to come. Anybody that you can. Folks, we're very blessed to have the privilege and the opportunity that we have. You study the Old Testament church, and you study about the Old Testament church, and you can find verbiage about going from house to house, because they didn't have what we have to worship. They didn't have the freedom to worship. They didn't have the facilities to worship. But what they did it genuinely, and the church continued to grow even by going from house to house. In America, we're headed in the opposite direction. So we want to be here to hear what Brother Stephen brings and get an understanding of what they're going through and their persecution over there. I'm excited about him coming. We are going to have a bunch of homemade ice cream after that, too. So we'll have a good time of fellowship. Fellowship is very important amongst the family of God. And